So sometimes it's mentioned that that the principles that govern proper behavior and activity in life are found very much within the Mahabharata. So Mahabharata teaches you how to live life from the point of view of activities, behavior. Of course, it's mixed with many other principles, higher principles. But many of the principles of proper behavior, etiquette, values, skills, they're all mentioned in Mahabharata. Of course, Mahabharata is vast and covers many subjects. So we say sometimes that if you want to learn how to live life, read and study Mahabharata. If you want to learn how to lead in life, study Ramayana. And the ideal leader, what is the principles that make up ideal leadership? What are the values that an ideal leader lives by? And what is the goal of the ideal leader? And how to lead those that he's leading. That's all we might emphasize in the Ramayana. If you want to learn how to love, then the Srimad Bhagavatam. So live, lead, and love. But it's not like it's all focused on one particular scripture of each of the subjects. They contain all of three of those, but there's an emphasis. So in Ramayana, we understand what is. When people talk about that Raj Ram, we want Raj Ram, we want that leadership that is ideal. And so they point to Ram. Within political parties, they talk about that. And in society, governments. But they're trying to have the ideal situation without Ram, and without Ram it's not possible. So we learn, and we also become inspired in devotion to the Supreme as we hear about the glories of Sri Ram and his activities. And Prabhupada mentions that, and he emphasizes this in a general way, that within the world there are two classes of people. Generally, Vishnu Bhakta Paradeva, Asurya Paryaya, that there are two kinds of people in the world. There are the devas and the asuras, or the demons and the devotees. And so these two classes of people are eternally at loggerheads. And not that it ends. As long as there is a material world, there will be these two classes of people fighting for supremacy in the world. The demons want to usurp the property of the Lord and amass as much wealth and power, position, followers as possible. And that sort of grandiose desire takes the form of exploitation of people and the material energy. And then you have the devas who also want to take the energy of the Lord, but not for their own personal gain, but they want to use it for the service of the Lord in order to glorify the Lord and to live in connection with the values and principles taught by the Lord. So these two kinds of people, sometimes we say pious and impious, but that's really a smaller definition of the same. It's more like demons and devotees, or asuras and asuras. And so we see that the Lord came, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, abhutanam adharmasya tadatmaham srijamiyaham pravitranaya sarunam, vinasanaya cha duskritam dharma samstarpanartayam sambhavami yuge yuge. So at the time when the Lord appeared, there was a need to remove a very strong, powerful demoniac influence within the world. And then again, reestablish religious principles and reestablish the righteousness of spiritual leadership. So the Lord comes in order to do that. And then, but when he comes, he also brings his devotees. And he also gives great pleasure and teaches principles of morality, civility, and spirituality in every activity he performs. But we always see, and it's just a fact of life, wherever there is great spiritual power, there is also, sometimes you see, very influential demoniac activity. When Krishna was here, the demons were coming. Prabhupada said, two demons every day in Vrindavan. So one in the morning and one in the afternoon on schedule. Because it fits into Krishna's schedule after breakfast and after lunch, you know. So that's when you got your most energy. So that's when Krishna was dispatching these demons to the abode of Yamaraj. And now we see also, of course, that was after, but then before that, 2 million plus years ago, a very powerful demon called Ravana. So the influence of the demoniac energy is always there in society. It's not like we read about it like years ago, and now we're such nice people, and there are a few bad people, but that's all now. The demons are just as much active, and even more so today, to do the same thing they do, but the only problem is, not problem, the only difference is they're not as powerful as they used to be. So they cheat. They take positions of political offices and various types of positions in society and try to rape the society of all its resources through various types of positions in society. And they cause so many problems to everyone. Prabhupada also said, we have no problem with Maya. Maya is our friend. And Maya works to help the devotee become more Krishna conscious. He said, but because there's demons in the world, the Maya has to serve the demons, therefore there's always problems in the world. So the problems are the demons, not Maya. Maya's our friend, because she's always... Of course, we try to avoid the influence of Maya, but Maya works in such a way as she's always trying to encourage the devotee to surrender more to Krishna, by showing that your attempt to enjoy me doesn't work. You only get suffering, that's all. And so now we go back 2 million years ago. So I'd like to speak about a few of the more activities that took place during that time. And the first one is Dasarath had three principal wives. In fact, he had 353 wives. We don't hear that, but if you read more carefully other versions of the Ramayana, you'll find it's also in Valmiki's Ramayana, I think, or in maybe Tulsi Dev's Ramayana, or Kumbhi's Ramayana. Kumbhi is another person who did the Ramayana. Yeah, he had 353 wives. How did he have so many wives? We only hear about three of them, right? Kausalya, Sumitra, and Kaikeyi. Where did the other 350? Well, it's a nice story. Because Parasaram was around at the time. And Parasaram hated Kshatriyas. And his program was to seek out Kshatriyas and cut their life short. And so when he would travel around looking for proud Kshatriyas, sometimes he would come into the area of Ayodhya. And then it was understood that Parasaram would never kill a Kshatriya if they were doing two things. And one of them was to get married. If they were getting married, he would not kill them. So Dasarath, every time he heard that Parasaram was in the area, he got married. Pretty good, huh? Some guys might like that. That's pretty good. Huh? Maybe The ladies wouldn't like that so much, though. But anyway, the point was that, in order to protect himself against the influence of Parasaram, that's what happened. But through, we hear about the three principal queens who gave birth to four sons. We have Kausalya for Ram, and we have Sumitra for Shatrughna and Lakshman. And we have Kaikeyi for Bart. And I'd like to speak a little bit about Kaikeyi. Out of the three queens of the three principal queens of Dasarath, his favorite was Kaikeyi. She was the youngest, and she was also the most attractive and the most dedicated to his service. And Dasarath would always go to see her every night. He didn't do that with all the other queens, but that was his favorite. Now, when the coronation of Ram was coming, and it was understood that soon, and practically one day coming, Ram would be the next, king of Ayodhya. It's a particular terminology for position. Close. Prince Regent. Yeah, Prince Regent, thank you. Yeah, I didn't hear you say that, but it's Prince Regent, yeah. So that was all in the entire city of Ayodhya, which had millions and millions of citizens, were all excited about now Dasarath because of his age. And of course, also for the principle of succession, he wanted to do this before he departed to establish the next king on the throne. So Ram was chosen unanimously amongst everyone. And there was no competition. It wasn't like there was an election. Dasarath chose Ram, and everyone fully agreed wholeheartedly, not only because he was the king, but because they felt that Ram was the most qualified and the most loved by everyone. Now, that's about to happen. Now, Kaikeyi has a maidservant. Her name is Mantara. Mantara she's very nicely positioned because she is the maidservant of the principal or the most favorite queen of Dasarath. But now she's thinking, Ram will take the throne, and therefore the most principal queen will become Kausalya, the mother of Ram, and everyone will see that. And Kaikeyi, my master, will be pushed to the side, and what will happen to me? I'll be disenfranchised. I won't get all the perks and benefits and everything else that I've been getting, the wealth. So she made a plot. Now Kaikeyi was just in favor of Ram to take the throne, as everyone else was. But Mantara, she started to speak, and he said, "Don't you see what's about to happen?" Kaikeyi said, "Yes, it's wonderful. Why are you so blind to the truth? Don't you know that once that Ram takes the throne, then you will be second class at best, maybe not even that. And you'll be pushed out. Kausalya will be seen as the most favored and most attentive by Ram." And so in so many ways, she came up with different reasons to show that Kaikeyi was blind to what was actually going to happen after Ram took the throne. And Kaikeyi was arguing with her. "Oh no, this is not true. Everyone loves Ram, and I also love him." But Mantara was vigilant. She didn't let up. She kept putting her poison out in various ways, trying to somehow or other change the mind of Kaikeyi. And at one point, she was successful to create a doubt in Kaikeyi's mind. And as soon as she saw that Kaikeyi was now ready to listen, she said, "Don't you remember? Many years ago, you saved the life of Dasarath, and he offered you two boons. And at the time you said, 'I will not take these boons now, but in the future.' So now is the time to take the boons." And you, and then Kaikeyi is listening, because now she's somewhat doubtful, or at least became somewhat influenced by what Mantara said. So she's thinking, "Okay, then you should ask for that Ram be banned to the forest for 14 years, and that Bart takes the throne, your son." And what happens is, and this is the principle that we want to illustrate. Here we have a good person, a very loving person, a very devoted person, but what is that? Asatsanga. Mm-hmm, right. When Lord Chaitanya was asked by Sanatan Goswami, what is the first duty of a devotee in Krishna consciousness? What is the first service, first duty? Lord Chaitanya said, Asat Sangha Tyaga e Vaishnava Achar. He said to give up the association of the non-devotees and take to the association of the devotees. He said, this is the first principle, and this is the foundation by which one makes progress in devotional service. And it's also a principle of life that we like to associate with people who have the same values, the same goals in life, because it supports and fortifies our own efforts. And so now, Kaikeyi, in the association of this mantra, now she's another person. And we see that even in the world today. And we've also could probably say that we have the example of Krishna's son, Bhoma. Bhoma was the son of Krishna and the son of the earth. When Varaha Dev picked up the earth, he impregnated the earth and created a son called Bhoma. And so he was the son of Krishna and the earth. Obviously, he was a great personality, born in such a, you know, a glorious way. But he got involved with one particular demon called Naraka, I think his name was. Can't remember the demon's name. And he started to associate with that demon. And then he started to take on the same qualities of the demon, and the activities and the attitude of the demon became a completely different thing. And Krishna killed his own son later on, because he actually became a demon. So here's a perfect example, and we see it here. The power of bad association. Or we also might include the benefit of proper and good association. So we learn from this particular pastime in the Ramayana how such a glorious and loving and dedicated and, you know, I don't know how you can say it, in so many ways, she had so many good qualities, but she lent an ear. So people ask, well, what is association? And Prabhupada said, and Prabhupada tells a story. This is an interesting story about association. And it kind of illustrates what is really association. Because sometimes devotees think, or people in general think, well, I'm with this person. Does that mean I'm associating with him? The story goes like this. There was a crocodile riding around in the little lake, and in the tree there was a monkey. And so the crocodile saw the monkey, say, "Hey monkey, come on, I'll give you a ride. Jump on my back. We'll go for a little ride along the lake." Monkey said, "Wow, that's nice." Well, the monkey jumps down, gets on the back of the crocodile, and they're going around the lake. And then the monkey asks the crocodile, "Where are we going?" And the crocodile said, well, I'm taking you home to my wife and she's going to eat you. And she's going to eat out your heart. That's what she's saying. Because she's going to eat out your heart. The monkey said, oh, really? Well, I left my heart in the tree. Can we go back? And I'll get it. So he goes back and the monkey jumps in the tree and he gets away. So don't give your heart. Give your heart to the devotees. But if you give your heart to the non-devotees, then you might wind up in the home of the wife of the crocodile, which is not so good. So this is a principle of association, is that you can't avoid being in the physical proximity, or even sometimes we have business, those of us who work in the world. But don't give your heart. As soon as you give your heart, then you are on a different level of the relationships. What does it mean to give your heart? It means, see, just what Kaikeyi did. She started to become sympathetic to what Mantara was saying. Before, she was resisting and arguing. But at one point, Mantara was very effective at speaking her poison. And somehow it changed the mind of Kaikeyi in such a way that she gave up resisting and started to think, oh, what Mantara is saying has some value. So the non-devotees will always try to encourage the devotees for sense gratification. That's what it means to associate with the non-devotees. Their life centers around having fun, enjoying the material world. And so when we associate with them, we should stay away from that mood and keep things, as Prabhupada said, there's three kinds of friends. One is called Suhit. That's Krishna. He's the highest. That's the best of all friends. That friend who knows what you need and is always there to help you achieve it. And then there's Mitra and Bandhu. Mitra is casual friend, and Bandhu is more like a regular friend. So Mitra is a casual friend where you, just like you go to the shop and you buy your, you know, you're buying something. And so you know the shopkeeper and you say, hey, Boris, how you doing, you know? And he says, oh, I'm okay, yeah, all right. Nice to see you. Have a good day. And you buy your product and you go home. So that's just a casual exchange. That's not association. But when you start getting into your personal life and start speaking about the activities, of course, you can give your association to the non-devotees to help them become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada said, don't take association, but give association. Kaikeyi took association. She wasn't giving her association. If she did, then Mantara would have been maybe different. She would have been more like Kaikeyi. But she surrendered to Mantara's association, and therefore a very good person became completely different. And you think, wow, that's an extreme example. That doesn't happen to me. It can happen to anyone. I've seen it too. Very, very wonderful devotees just somehow or other don't understand the value of or the danger of wrong association. Because in order to associate, you have to somehow or other connect. And if you connect on that other level, then you're going to disconnect yourself from Krishna. And so, and then what happened, of course, was then Dasarath, when he found out, she called him into her chambers and she told him the whole plan. Dasarath was incredulous. Couldn't believe what she was saying. He was like, am I dreaming? Is this a nightmare or a bad dream? But finally he realized that what she was saying was actually coming from the same person who had now been changed. And he couldn't understand why. Of course, everybody knew, and eventually they knew that it was due to the association of Mantara. And then she was not only trying to present what she wanted, but she was determined to get it. She said, and at one point, Dasarath said, all right, we can make Bart the king, but why are you pushing Ram into the forest for 14 years? Why are you banishing him from the kingdom? And Mantara made the point when Kaikeyi said the same thing. What did she say? She said, well, if Ram stays here and Bart becomes the king, then Ram will become envious and he will get his armies and attack Bart. And then it'll be, you know, more and more a fight. So in order to avoid that, send Ram to the forest, Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji ki jai. Sisi Rana Gokulananda ki jai. Gaura Nittai ki jai. Yeah, so that's, so she had her whole plan already worked out. That any questions or retaliations with her plan, she had the perfect answer. She had been influenced in such a way she had all the answers. And now Dasarath, of course, you know, she also said, you know, you gave me these two boons. You're a Kshatriya. Now you're going back on your word. And we understand from Kshatriya principles that for a Kshatriya, a real Kshatriya, whatever they say, that is law. They don't change. Even at the risk of their own life, they will keep their word. Their word is more important than anything. And so now she used that to pressure him to finally agree to her proposal. And what could he do? And so he reluctantly agree. Of course, that's played out in a very, very dramatic way in a very long part of the Ramayana. But here, the point I wanted to make and the point that I think we all should say, sadhu sangha, sarva sastri hoy, lavamata, sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy, that the association of the devotees brings one to Krishna. Association of devotees is so important. It is that whatever we need to know, we can find out in the association of devotees, and need to know to make progress or execute our devotional service. Whatever we need to unlearn, in other words, some of the principles that are blocks in our Krishna consciousness, are also exposed in the association of devotees. Association of devotees is like a mirror. It helps you to reflect both on what is needed and what you need to get rid of. If you're actually associating with devotees. How do you associate with devotees? You're in the mood to serve. If you're in the mood to serve, and of course we serve in different ways according to the activities, just like in kirtan we chant and dance, that's service. In class we listen, and the speaker serves by speaking, and the devotees serve by listening. So every particular activity has a feature of service and being served in that combination of devotees. So when we can concentrate on this simple principle, how to serve or how to accept service in order to give service, then that is sadhusanga. That is sadhusanga. And of course, it takes different forms according to the activities that's being performed. So now when Bart came back, and of course Ram had already left for the forest, Dasarath was already, he had actually left his body because the pain of losing Ram was so great that his life could not continue. So he actually died out of heartbreak for the loss of his son. Of course, that son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it also indicates, and we also see that even in the secular world, how people have such love or such affection, attachment to each other, that if one of them leaves, the other one... I hear it all the time. Sometimes I hear, one of the parents dies and the other parent just goes down. Their life just goes down. And eventually they become unhappy or they somehow take to activities that are not beneficial. And then after a while they also leave. So yeah, but when you see it when in this case of Ram and Dasarathi, the separation from the Supreme Lord, who was actually his personal son, was so devastating that his life was not able to continue. Bard comes back. He finds out the whole truth. Kaikeyi's really excited to tell her son, hey, guess what? You're going to be the new king. And he was away. He had gone to another place for some business. Now he's in return. Everything has been played out, you know. Ram's already left for the forest. Dasarath had already passed away. And Kaikeyi, she was so much influenced by this wrong association. She's joyful to express that she has come up with the perfect plan that is best for everyone. You can see how when you lend a sympathetic ear, and this is the point, as Prabhupada used to say, the Mayavadis, if you associate with and listen to the Mayavadis, you're doomed. But what does he mean? I mean, we've been associating sometimes with Mayavadis. I've been to conferences with Mayavadis. But I don't listen to their garbage. I just have to be there to give my talk and then get out. So when you lend a sympathetic ear to the wrong type of association, there's where you become vastly influenced like that. So as we use the example, don't give your heart. She gave her heart. Mantara was close because she was doing personal service for Kaikeyi. So it was kind of natural that she would be somewhat open to what Mantara said because of their closeness in their relationship. But fast. And then when Bart heard about it, he was besides himself in first bewilderment. Second, anger. He became so angry that when he found out who was the influence, he wanted to finish off Mantara. In fact, Shatrughna came in, and was it Shatrughna or Lakshman? One of them grabbed Mantara, was dragging her along the floor, and she was just screaming. I think it was Shatrughna, wasn't it? Yeah, and so they were both. Everyone who had some understanding was very angry at Mantara. But Mantara, who is who she is? She was placed there in order to bring this intrigue. But we can learn from this principle of wrong or bad association. So association is so important. Yeah. It's not only so. Prabhupada used to say, there's three things that the devotees must carefully put in place in their Krishna consciousness. And he said the three things: association, association, association. You got those three? And don't remember the order that they're into. So this is the point. And we can't emphasize good association. And then, you know, sometimes we travel hundreds of miles just to get association. Sometimes we travel around the world to get association. And we know that the association is the principle of happiness and is the principle of success, right association. So that's one particular pastime. I don't know how much time we have left. But I can tell one more, maybe a shorter one. There are so many. Okay, I'll tell a real quick one. This is called alertness in spiritual life. Alertness in spiritual life. Just for those who are sleeping now, this one maybe it might be a good one. Alertness in spiritual life. And I'll give the example that's mentioned. Lord Ram leaves the Ayodhya, and the inhabitants of Ayodhya were what? Asleep at the time. When they woke up, if one is attentive or lazy, one will lose the taste for bhakti. If one is lazy or inattentive, one will lose the taste for bhakti. So when the citizens woke up the next day and realized Ram was no longer here, it was too late. Of course, they tried to, they arranged an ensemble, a big yatra, to try to catch Ram. And they actually caught up with him, but then that's a whole nother story. But that point is that, using this example of the citizens of Ayodhya, Prabhupada said, Maya is very strong. And of course, we mentioned Maya as our friend, but her friendliness is that she somehow or other sees a weakness in you. She looks for weaknesses, just like sometimes we use the example when two people are in a boxing ring, they're fighting. If one person hits another person and that person becomes injured in that spot, that same fighter will look to hit that same place again because he knows that's a vulnerable spot. So Maya knows your weaknesses. And therefore she'll look for that, weakness. Sometimes you wonder why Maya is attacking in the same way all the time, because that's your weakness. And somehow she wants you to become alert to guard against that weakness and become strong, and then she's no longer attacking you in that same way. So Maya is very expert. She knows your ins, she knows your outs. She's a pure devotee, and she's highly intelligent. And therefore, she looks for ways in order to deviate you in devotional service. But her goal is to somehow or other get you to wake up to Krishna consciousness. And for a sincere devotee, Maya is a friend. For those who are struggling and not so sincere, Maya is the worst enemy. So always be alert in Krishna consciousness. That's why we say attentiveness in everything we do. I've seen people lose their life just because they have been inattentive for a second. There was one very nice man. He was walking down the stairs. He became a little attentive, and that's the last thing he did. All the way down the stairs, and that was the end. So a little inattentiveness, especially in spiritual life, brings another type of consciousness, and then Maya can use that consciousness to influence the devotee. So that's why Prabhupada would say, and he said it hundreds of times, never forget Krishna. Always remember Krishna. How do you always remember Krishna? And that's a process. But one of the easiest, or not easiest, one of the ways that fortifies the process of remembering Krishna is to have a good japa. When you have very strong japa in the morning, and that takes attentiveness and in order to do that, but that is the foundation for keeping Krishna aware throughout the day. When you have very good japa. So we always try to increase the quality and, of course, the devotional principles in our japa, because it's the foundation for the everything we do in Krishna consciousness. It sets the stage for the proper consciousness throughout the day, and it also helps us to become alert to what to do and what not to do in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, so the stronger and better and more regular, of course we want to be regular, our japa, the more you're fixed in Krishna consciousness. Japa is the building blocks. And of course, japa, kirtan is also there. Like that. So alertness in Krishna consciousness, don't forget Krishna. Well, you might say, Maharaj, well, yeah, it's pretty hard to do, but practice. But Krishna's nice. If you learn about Krishna, when you hear about Krishna, when you hear about his pastimes, his qualities, his activities, when you see a beautiful picture of Krishna, you become attractive. That's why he's called Krishna, because he's all attractive. Everything about him is attractive. So getting attracted to Krishna helps us to remember Krishna more and more. And that attraction and the idea of remembering Krishna become one. We want to remember Krishna because he's so attractive. He's so personal, and he's so very much within the foundation of everything we do in our life. So practice that. That's alertness in Krishna. Don't forget Krishna. When Prabhupada was asked, are you always remembering Krishna? Prabhupada said, I can't even remember a time that I did not remember Krishna. If you would tell someone like Prabhupada or someone on the similar level of Prabhupada to forget Krishna, they would think that's the greatest insult. They can't. So we have to come to that stage. And how do we do that? By hearing more and more. We hear the pastimes of the Lord. We chant the holy names of the Lord. We read the books. We associate with devotees who are fixed in Krishna consciousness. That increases our attraction for Krishna. Krishna is not only Krishna, but his energies are also expanded in the form of his devotees, his prasadam, his service. These are also energies of Krishna that keep us connected to Krishna. And Padma Purana gives a very, very strong statement. When I read it, I couldn't believe it. It says, what is the greatest mistake? What is the greatest anomaly? What is the greatest misfortune? To forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead for one moment. That's a statement from Padma Purana. That just to forget God, Krishna, for one moment means that's the greatest mistake you could possibly make in your life, according to Shastra. So we want to remember Krishna more and more because then we can become Krishna conscious. And we have to get attracted to Krishna in order to remember him. And so there's what we hear and chant the glories of the Lord. That is the way to get attracted more and more to Krishna. Because Krishna is who he is. Krishna, all attractive. And here, Radha Gokula Nanda is actually, you know, the cynosure of attraction. They're so beautiful, so sweet, and so always available. Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, very fortunate. Not too many temples around the world have such the deities of Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman. So when Ram Nomi comes up, I always think, I want to go to Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's the best place to be for Ram Nomi. Really. And of course, Sri Sri Gaur-Nitai they're taking the humble position. But they're very, very powerful. Okay, any questions, comments, some of the principles, yes. Or if you want to ask anything about the Ramayana or principles related to the Ramayana.
Yeah.
she was so much captivated that she was convinced. If she wasn't completely convinced, then she would have probably checked out with someone else to see, well, this is what I'm asked to do. And does it make sense? You know, she could have verified it with others, but she had been so much absorbed and convinced that that never came up. She actually became even just as much or even more, determined to carry out what Monterer said than Monterer. You know, she was the main preacher now. It wasn't like she was just influenced and that was all. She actually became so convinced that what she was doing was the best thing. That's how insidious bad association is. Or even, it's also true with good association. We have that verse, sadhu sangha sarva sastri hoy lava matta sarva sangha sarva siddhi hoy. 1 minute, one lava matta, association with a pure devotee, one can be completely purified. That is the actual translation. So association is such a valuable thing. And in the other way, it works in the opposite way. And it gives you enthusiasm for whatever you're trying to do. Yeah, so she didn't even consider that because there was no reason to go out and ask anyone else. She had been fully brainwashed. Well, maybe she didn't think of it. Who else could she go to? Everyone else was of a different mindset. Right? Ram, Dasarath, everyone else wanted Ram. If she would have went to anyone else, they would have told her, you're off, you know? Forget it. She could have thought, well, there would be nobody else to verify. She got to the point where she had to convince others what she had believed to be right. That was her program. She had to convince Dasarath and others, and her also try to convince her son. So nobody was thinking like her. Nobody, except Mantara. So there wasn't like a neutral assembly there. There was nobody neutral. They all wanted Ram. That was obvious. So your point was, if there's a neutral assembly, then you could, you know, discuss it. But there wasn't any neutral assembly there. They were all fixed on Ram. Yes, Prayojana. And then after that, Mataji. Okay.
Reminds me, actually, of also the wicked mind, but how the mind can see either we can choose to see the good in others, or we can choose to see be critical. And the fly goes for the sores.
Right.
And, I remember Prabhupada gives that example. So that's an interesting thing.
People found bad qualities in Krishna.
Yeah.
People found flaws in Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywhere you can find a mistake or the mind can do that with anything.
Yeah.
With anybody, even God.
Yeah. So we've got to be careful of the mind, I suppose. It's nature.
Well,
yeah.
Don't listen to it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati says, when you get up in the morning, you beat your mind 100 times with shoes, and at night before you take rest, but 100 times with a broomstick. And he said, then maybe, and he didn't say maybe you'll be able to control your mind. It's a rascal. Okay, yes. Yeah, that's a nice point.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances of Krishna Prabhupada. It's such a wonderful class you've given. I just have a small question that, because of my doubtful mind. Maharaj, you explained that Ramchandra was there and Dasharath was there. They're very powerful, spiritual, and Lord himself there. But how, what kind of a practice they had, like we have Hare Krishna Mahamantra, if we chant purely Hare Krishna Mahamantra, definitely the Maya will find difficult to come to us. But Kaiki was in constant association with Lord Ram, with Dasharath Maharaj. So how her mind was swayed by these little, insect of like mantra so much that she really was, so powerful to with her decision.
Well, she became sympathetic to hear. As soon as she did, there was no more. Her own ideas went back, and she started listening in a submissive way. As soon as she started listening submissively, she's finished.
Thank you. All
right. Yes, so. We got Rishabh.
Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much. I think I understand deeply more this, how to not take association of others. And is this also applied for... okay, we understand when there is like non-devotees, but is there also applied to maybe materialistic devotees?
Well, it said, yeah, we should choose your association, yeah. But when you're with, like you're in the temple, you have various types of devotees. So you're engaged in devotional activities. But if you're on one-on-one, if you're talking, then you always... it says that Rupa Goswami makes the point, one should associate and make friends with like-minded devotees. You can be friendly to everyone, and that's the nature of a devotee. Devotees by nature is friendly. Krishna mentions that in the Gita. The one who's friendly to everyone is very dear to me. But then there's friendly to everyone, but friends are selective. You select your friends, but you can be friendly to everyone. Because, we have our natures, we have our personalities. And we also do that. So we also talk about 3 levels of association with seniors, with peers, and with juniors. So in that different types of associations, there's different moods of how you associate. With people that are more advanced than you, you hear from them and you serve them personally. With peers, you make friends and share Krishna consciousness together. With those in a lesser position, you try to raise them up and help them become more Krishna conscious. In other words, you become compassionate towards them. Now that's mentioned in the Gita, in the Bhagavatam. 3 ways to associate. 3 moods, like.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for the class. I just have a quick question. If we're engaged in a lot of services with non-devotees, like book distribution, outreach, how can we make sure that we still show a lot of compassion and empathy when we speak with them but not get influenced by them?
Well, yeah, if you're trying to give them a book, you're trying to serve them. That's Krishna consciousness. So you might exchange words. Sometimes you exchange friendly words. But the reason why you brought into that association is to give them Krishna consciousness, to give them a book. That's fine. Sometimes you might even get into some small talk in order to somehow or other get their confidence so you can sell them a book. I mean, we do that. But that's not associating with them. That's just be able to bring communication to a more complete level. That's all that is. But if you sit there for a half hour talking about to one person about trying to sell the book, then you might have missed about 10 other chances to sell the book. So you have just stay focused on what you're trying to do.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. You were talking about how Maya targets our vulnerabilities, weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do in regards to those weaknesses to protect us?
Well, obviously, we don't always know all our weaknesses, but we know some of them. Mm. And so we should be trying to somehow or other overcome those weaknesses by, you know, the principles of Krishna consciousness. And such as maybe we get angry easy. So that's a weakness. So then we notice that in ourselves. So Maya will put us in a situation where somebody will make us angry. And just to show you what a fool you are, you know. So you have to be aware of that. So you think, well, how can I overcome that? I know I shouldn't get angry so easy, but I can't help it. That's just the way I am. So there's two things. One is the process of Krishna consciousness, which means try to make advancement in hearing and chanting and serving. So as you make progress, then unwanted qualities in artists start to go. But then again, you also can adopt certain techniques or ways of reacting that are different, that doesn't allow these different things. So when someone says something, does something to get you angry, count to 10 before you respond. So you can use these little things that gives you a chance to think on how to make your response. And then you may not decide to get angry. So I'm just using that as an example. That's all. So two things. The process itself will help us overcome our weakness. As we make advancement, we develop good qualities. We lose these weaknesses, bad qualities. And we all, as we are making that progress, we should also see how to not fall victim to these things by using the counter, like it says in the Bhagavatam. One of the ways to overcome anger is forgiveness. So learn how to, so try to cultivate the quality of forgiveness. That's in the Bhagavatam. And it has some, how to overcome lust is to use your energy more and more in Krishna consciousness. How to overcome talkativeness, talk about Krishna. So there are antidotes which are the opposite for these negative qualities which are favorable to Krishna consciousness. If you're greedy, become greedy for more service. You're greedy for something material. If you like to sleep too much, then have your friend call you at 3:30 in the morning on the phone to wake you up. That's a good technique. Yeah. So, you know, you can use these little antidotes to overcome these things. But you have to recognize, oh, this is my anartha, this is my weakness. Like one of my weaknesses, I tell jokes at the wrong time. And people look at me and say, And they look and they think, what is he doing? So then I stop telling jokes. Then I realize that's not good either. So now I have to choose the right time to tell jokes. Yeah, and I recognize that, you know. And I'm from New York, and so New York, people from New York have a certain way of making fun of each other in a joking way, and nobody gets offended. It's just the way New Yorkers are. But if you do that in London, everybody is like, "Well, you insulted me." But that's New Yorkers do that. They just joke with each other in a very demeaning way. That's just the way they are. It's just that's their culture. But don't try it in London. So, you know, certain anarthas or bad habits or things that don't fit in place or something that's against Krishna conscious, we have to see what is it and how to overcome it. Yeah, that's so. So, therefore, a devotee is introspective. A devotee watches what they say and what they do, or plans ahead of time. And that way, you can maximize the quality of your activities. If you're too spontaneous, sometimes there are devotees, and that's their nature, they quickly react to a situation. And because they're intelligent, many times their quick reactions are correct. But if you're not of that same nature and you try to and you become like that, you may make mistakes. You have to know your own nature, and then use that nature to become Krishna conscious. People have different natures. That's why they say, be yourself, but be Krishna conscious. Don't try to be somebody else, because, you know, the program is be Krishna conscious, but in order to do that, you have to be yourself. Each person has their personality, their character. It's just molded in a certain way. Take that mold and bring it to Krishna. So if you like to get angry, just get angry at the demons. That's all. Or get angry at those who blaspheme and offend devotees.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Arsh.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class. A lot of devotees now experience overwhelming association, like a subtle form of negative association through technology in like WhatsApp, social media, TV, internet, may weaken devotees in their, you know, sadhana practices. And also because, you know, we live in a society where it's becoming more technology dependent.
Yeah, they force you into that box. In other words, they make you dependent on that, and then you find yourself in that situation.
Mm. How does one fight that? Because I know
first thing to do is make sure during your japa period your cell phone is off, completely off. I have a little; it's on my phone. I don't think I could show it to everyone. But it's a nice little video of when he's a comedian, but he shows the devotees in their attempt to chant japa and do text messages at the same time. You know, he said we've all become lefty now, left-handed, because Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah. The right hand is still going, Hare Krishna, but we're, you know, the left hand has got other business. Yeah. So be careful. Yeah, so you have to plan how you use your technological gadgets. or else they'll use you. You can be used by them, or they can use you. I was at Northeastern University in Boston a few years ago. We were giving a lecture, and we were speaking about, you know, the deficiencies of too much absorption in cell phones. That became the topic of the discussion. And then at the end of the class, we had questions, but this person came to me at the end, and he was practically in tears. I mean, really emotionally distraught. And he said to me, and he called me, again, I think he called me Swamiji or something. And he said, if I don't have my cell phone for more than 6 minutes, I go crazy. And he said it with such emphasis. I thought, what am I supposed to tell him? I told him, you know, it's not healthy. You know, so there are people who have become so addicted to these things that it's like alcohol, it's like drugs. I mean, it's just like they can't live without it. And I was traveling in Calcutta a few years ago. There was advertising for remedies and medical treatments for people who have developed brain damage because of overuse of cell phones. Yeah. It's actually bad for the brain, too. So yeah, so this technology is, we're not against technology. Prabhupada also said we're not against it. But we use it for Krishna. We have to know how to use it also. Because if it uses you, then you go down. So there's been many, I think Bhaktivedanta Manor did a whole video on how to use computers and how to live in the lockdown, right? There was a whole video that was done by the devotees of Bhaktivedanta. I remember Mother Vishakha, she also spoke, and other devotees spoke about, and this was the lockdown, so everyone was now more attuned to the technology. And so the devotees here made quite an extensive video, came in three parts, and to use it in a very healthy way. And there was many instructions, mention of advice, things to avoid, things to consider. It was nicely done. So yeah, there is a protocol that one should follow in order to not allow these technological devices to control you. And also, you know, it can also be unhealthy. Yeah, I think one of the things I can say in a positive way is have a time for that. I know I've heard of certain executives, they take calls at a certain time and they answer calls at a certain time. They don't answer every call because they have a particular time when they're doing things and they don't answer any calls. And then when they collect the calls and then they call back like that. And that's one technique to allow yourself to get more things done. Because if you're always answering calls or checking the text messages every time it goes bong, you're going to get nothing done. I mean, I had my phone on during japa this morning. I must have got about 10 bongs. But I didn't look at any of them. I just kept chanting. Every time I got a bong, I just thought, I guess that's Krishna telling me I have to, you know, become more attentive to my japa. So I used... So yeah, it'll control you and it'll bring you down in your spiritual life and in your health. And that's also socially, you know, it's antisocial too. People don't associate with each other so much. There's been many, many displays six people sitting together, and each one's on the cell phone. Nobody knows about anybody else around. It's just them and the phone. I saw six different settings. People at the airport, people at the restaurant, people standing in line, people at, you know, in schools. Everybody's on their cell phone and nobody's aware of anybody else, you know. So it's actually a way to disenfranchise others from each other, too. It's not very social. And it's, you know, all the media is like that. We computers, television. Want to hear a funny story? If you have to go, I don't want to keep you too long. It's a true story. I was preaching in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I had a friend, and he invited me to come to his house. So he escorted me to his house. So we went to his house. And I walked in. He's a very simple man. He didn't have much. So I walked into the living room, and his father is watching television in the living room. And then I noticed the living room was divided into two sections, and there was a curtain in between. And then we happened to go to the other side, and his brother was watching television on the other side of the curtain. So same room, the room is divided into two, and both are watching television. So I kind of rationalized in a nice way. I thought, well, yeah, they're watching, you know, two different shows. But then I looked, they're watching the same show. And then I had to ask. And then the answer was, just in case one wants to change the channel. Yeah, that's a true story. I mean, and I thought, this is a good topic for class, you know. Disassociation by electronic association. So yeah, this is what it can do to you. It can actually create divisions within society. It's actually doing that, creating divisions amongst people, amongst groups, amongst societies like that. Yeah. But if you use it for Krishna in the right way, at the right time, then it has benefit, yeah. But that takes some planning. And you have to know your vulnerabilities too. Anything? Okay, I don't think I should keep you any longer. It's past breakfast time. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Sita Ram, Lakshman Hanumanji ki jai.